This is Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit. Heart to Heart.
It is Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, 6:07 a.m. This is where you're at. We give you awesome sound coming there from Uche Agu. Make God big. Make God big. He is big. Bigger than your problems. Bigger than anything that you're going through. Bigger than that challenge that you are facing. Know that He is with you, for you. And there's no way that you can fail. There's no way that you can go wrong when you are with Him. That is Uche Agu. Make God big. And before it was David D, I Love Jesus. 25 minutes it is, just after 12, right here on Heart to Heart on Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. And Egesnia Lien, she walked in, a queen walked into the studio not so long ago. I'm honored to be having her in studio yet again, Sisiri. She is right here with me. How are you, my queen? I'm good. Can you take that mic just a little bit lower? I think I left it then, Bona. And you're very tall. You know, I forgot that you are very tall.
Yeah,
I forgot that you. I have somebody very tall coming into studio. Are you good?
I'm very well. Thanks
welcome.
For asking. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome.
Thank you.
I was reminding the family, last week, we never saw ourselves as people's source. You know, that people would look at us and think we are the source.
Mm-hmm.
We are the ATMs. Mm-hmm. We are the banks. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, well, now you think you're helping. Can't you are a funder? Mm-hmm. And you're not even aware that you mm-hmm. whether you're a funder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so it is like really awesome. Can we just go back two steps backwards and just catch up with you on last week?
Okay.
Just two steps.
Two steps back, last week we spoke about, you know, taking stock, analyzing our own, you know, belief systems about money, how we relate with money, what we believe about money, and just really saying that, remember, your core belief is what makes you. Your core belief is what informs your actions. It's what informs your earning, your spending, your saving, if that's what you're doing, and just how you share your resources. And then we went on to look at scriptures. Last week we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and 18 to help us know that God allows us the ability to produce wealth. And so there's nothing wrong. And then we went on to the second step, taking responsibility, the right responsibility, and knowing that to say no is a godly thing. Christians, we are afraid to say no because we, for a long time, we were taught to be the, you know, Messiah, to be able to say yes to everything and give to everybody and everything.
Yeah.
So last week, that's what we focused on. We also had, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that also helped us, you know, to know that the right responsibility can be taken in boldness and in love and in discipline. And so this week we shall continue on to our third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh step. And I hope we finish them today.
I don't know. The Lord knows.
I think you like me doing up and down in the studio, say.
I love the teachings because they do challenge us.
You must
pay.
And of course we love you.
Look at you. We should see you Vele every day.
Exactly.
Okay, so where are we going today?
We're going to clarity.
Yeah.
Today we are... The Lord is reminding us of clarity.
Yes.
We need to be clear about our expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of people that have budgets. My mom, for instance, when it comes to money, she's the example.
Yeah, I love your mom.
The good example.
Yes.
She actually is a woman who pastes her budget on the wall in her bedroom.
Wow.
Yes, she's got a date.
Yeah.
She knows exactly when.
Uh-huh.
She writes them down. Even if she knows them off by heart, she'll tell you that you have to put it down.
Yeah.
So her management, which is what we're going to talk about, you know, the clarity.
Because sometimes we budget in our heads.
Yes.
We think we know. Yeah,
it's
like, okay. No.
And it stays in the head, but at the cashier, most of the time, it speaks a different language, and then the head starts arguing with the reality.
And now even the pocket says something else.
Yes, it tells you. So she loves putting it up on the wall, and she really ticks it off, and she knows exactly. So that's what we're going to talk about.
Okay, let's go there.
Yes, we're going to talk about the management of our financial life. Mm-hmm. It is mostly cluttered, and I think that's what we've been trying to say just now. It's cluttered by our emotional response to things or to people.
Yeah,
we spend or we earn, or mostly we spend, depending on how we feel.
Yeah, especially we women.
Yes.
Yeah.
How we feel about ourselves that day, or how we feel about the person then that we are about to spend on. If I'm very fond of you, I will take you out to lunches. I've done that, you know, to favorite spots in the past where the bill would come back, and the truth is you realize we were just dishing out, you know. Because you're so fond of Sibongile. And when you're not fond of Thabo, then maybe the expenditure is not so much. And that on its own can be very detrimental to our financial health.
Sure. Okay, let's go into it. Let's not waste time.
Yes, it is said that our spending will either be triggered like feeling sorry, feeling fond, or feeling sorry to say, I cannot help you.
What about, is it part, I just want to be sure if it's part of what we are saying right now. Some of us, because of excitement, when money comes in and the phone says, and you're like, oh, it's in. And then, yeah, you are excited emotionally. And then you're thinking, those boots, that trouser, and then you're there. Before you even think about the food and those boots, you know, that purse, that that clutch bag. Is that compulsive buyers, emotional buyers? Is it what we're talking about now?
It is exactly that, what we're talking about. And I can identify with that. At university, at some point when I went to the University of Cape Town, because I've been to other institutions, I was under 20 years old then. Our bursary used to give us some allowance, a handsome allowance, I must say. And we used to call it unoma. Unomali. Ungenile. So when that notification went, I'll be at Cavendish Square in Cape Town, and I'll be getting those, you know, the sneakers and everything. And in 2 minutes, you have finished your money and you don't have enough food for the month. So the excitement also makes us, it's not only the bad emotions that make us spend. Even too much excitement can make us spend unwisely.
I remember that I hosted a party in tertiary.
I used to be the hostess.
Yes. Hosted a party in tertiary when I turned 19 because I was doing nursing, and so there was stipend. So I feel you. And then when everybody leaves the room, the money is gone.
It has also left.
Yeah.
It leaves with them.
Yeah.
But you see, Sibongile, those are some of the things that make us and shape us, provided our outlook or our perspective about them is a perspective of wanting to learn. Some of it can destroy us. We could spend and the money leaves with the guests, and automatically you are destroyed and you cannot come back. But the word of God is encouraging us to come back. It's teaching us that money is such a good thing. It's teaching us that for the fact that the source is the very, very source that brought us onto this earth for a greater purpose, there's nothing wrong with having money. And there's nothing wrong with being joyful and happy that you can have resources. But it's teaching us on how to look at it, how to relate with it. When the relationship is friendly, as we look at, I've got two scriptures on that. As we look at Isaiah 55, verse 2, and my references again are from the NIV. Bible, it says, why spend money on what is not bread?
Hmm.
Somebody may say, bread as in God is saying we need to spend on food only.
Mm.
For me, I'm believing it as it's revealed to me as bread, a life-giving bread.
Mm.
Spend it on things that you can point at, things that will move you from point A to point B,
mm.
and live sustainably.
Mm.
I think that's what the bread is about.
Mm.
So half the time, we spend it on the things that are not bread,
mm.
things that are not going to come back and give us a future,
mm.
an earthly future that we still need for as long as we're here.
Mm.
The scripture continues and says, and your labor... which means, why spend money on your labor on what does not satisfy? What does not satisfy? The instant gratification.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the six red flags that we should look at amongst many. We do things to gratify ourselves at that time.
Yeah.
That is not satisfying.
Hmm.
It finishes off and says, listen to me and eat what is good.
Hmm.
Eat the word of God. Let it be your highest diet that you can have, the word of God. Because then when you eat what is good, you eat Isaiah 55 verse 2, you will begin to spend accordingly. And it finishes and says, and you will delight in the richest of fare.
Mm.
You will have peace.
Mm.
Month end will not be a nightmare to you.
Heesh.
You will be so content. You will know that you need not do what does not satisfy and what is not bread.
Sure. And so be careful in your excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Our Obu James Ferdinand Fanzel also writes in and says, never make a promise when you are happy.
Mm-hmm. Bad time.
Bad
timing.
So be careful in your excitement never to do all of that.
Bo.
Because even the Bible says, and your wages for what does not satisfy.
Mm.
Ish. So if this thing it means that if it's not satisfying, it needs you to always
keep on feeding it. Mm-hmm. You know, the love for fleshy things, the love to be seen, the ego, there is no quality in that.
Yes.
It's all about quantity.
I was going to come into the love of being approved and loved by others.
Validation.
And so you're seeking love from people who do not even care. They are in your space because of your money. We watch a program on TV, How I Blew It. Oh, I Blew It. Something like that. And so I think there's also a soapy right now that is teaching young people about that. A person is just spending, and they're like 170,000. Like, it's okay, all right. Buying everybody clothes, buying everybody food, and yes, because you have it at that moment, not even realizing that it's it's going little by little.
It's leaving the room.
Mm.
I don't know if we can look at the six red flags.
Yes, let's
just
do that.
You know, out of the
many
that we have that we need to watch out for, and these are called emotional spending traps, because really they are traps. It's like the tree of blessings and calamity. You go there and you, at first it looks good, it's nice, and then as time goes on, it's all hell. We shop. Number one, shopping as a response to a stressful event. Sometimes a stressful
emotional
event
shoppers.
Could be that maybe you have an emotionally abusive partner who tells you that other women are beautiful, who do you think they are, this and that. And you go and think, by going and getting something that's going to make you look good, you'll be approved tomorrow. It's not going to happen. Only your bank balance will lose. Number two, spending to try to keep up with the Joneses.
Comparing
to look
yourself.
Like everybody. Today we have social media.
Yeah.
That is driving women, children, fathers, brothers, uncles, they're driving them crazy. People are losing themselves in these things, forgetting that sometimes I look at with my own page, I sometimes post pictures from the past, but don't really say it was last year. And then if you look at things like that, you're gonna think, she looks good every single day she's at events. Some of it, it's throwbacks. But if I don't say it, you might just want to keep up with me, you know, or someone
so
like me.
So it's what, self-comparison?
Yes, comparing yourself to things that you do not know.
Mm.
Because really, you do not know. Number three.
And you don't know how they do, they make their money on the other side.
You don't know how they get these things. Some people are taken care of. You know, you've got people that have partners that take care of them.
Other things you might be shocked.
Yes, and some are the story from you know, the example you made last time.
Yeah.
And there's a saying that says, if you envy my life, something like that, ask yourself if you can be me.
If I can be in your shoes.
In my shoes. Huh? Will you still be want to be me? And the third one, seeking a high through shopping to get instant gratification.
If you are sad, now you're shopping.
Yes. And you just want to feel high. You just want to... It's a populist syndrome that I spoke about last week. That some of these things, it's not that we are bad people. We don't know that until we know that certain actions that we take fall into the bucket of populism. And the fourth one, telling yourself you deserve to make a purchase. And let's underline the word deserve. It's self-entitlement. Telling yourself that no matter what, I am entitled, I deserve, it is my birthright to spend and buy these shoes for the money that I do not have. There is a thin line, Sibongile, between, you know, being confident and being overly confident in the wrong way. It is good. You deserve a good life. Nobody deserves suffering. But sometimes this thing of saying, and many women, we like saying that, oh, I deserve a manicure. You deserve it. But there are things that are going to go very wrong once you go for that manicure and you do not take care of them. Shall we go to the fifth one?
Yes.
This one, I don't know if I'm guilty or what. Spending even when you are worried about money and debt. Recently, I think I shared last week that I had to cut a relationship with a certain, you know, organization to say I cannot do this anymore because you still buy for them, and I have a testimony about that, by the way. I noted it. Even when you know that that money that you're taking is for the petrol that I used to chauffeur my children to school, and now the petrol is short by 200 or 100 rands.
It's a lot.
And you think, it will come. You know, God is a God of abundance. But the truth is, you are not being true to yourself. And my testimony for number five is that because I took a step last week, it was actually on that day, suddenly money came from another space, a space that I knew had no funds.
Yeah.
But because I said, I cannot do this anymore, the people said, we actually can give for you to continue with ABCD for us. For me, it's a good testimony.
Yes.
Because it means I had made people dependent on me without realizing it. And so it crippled me, it crippled them. We are going to come to that. The last one, shopping or spending. Every time, just replace the words with what applies to you. Shopping with the intention of returning items. I've never liked this one.
I think I know when I was in tertiary, there were some girls who did that.
Yes.
Yeah. So if we have a function, they would just go by, and then after the function, they return.
They come with price tags inside. And if it leaves the hiding spot, then you know so-and-so didn't remove, or the shoes underneath. You see people with price tags, and you think they forgot it. No, some of them are going to return. They needed to look good for that. So yes, let's really reflect on our own red flags as we conclude this section. Our own red flags, they are definitely more than six that people suffer from. Reflect on yourself now and then. Ask yourself, where in this, you know, whole thing do you fit, and where you want to go? And we must remember that when we occupy ourselves to the point of obsession with anything other than God, it becomes an idol.
Yes.
Because remember, when you spend like this, when you are a populist and you don't know how to balance it, you're gonna end up worshipping and or idolizing money, and that's where the problem comes in, and hence there is this thing against, in inverted commas, money and people who are wealthy. We automatically think, if I'm gonna do better, it means I must work so hard for this thing, even when I don't want to, even when I don't have to, and it becomes your everything, and eventually it drives you to spaces that you don't want to find yourself in.
Sure. Wow. May the Lord help us. I think we're going to take a break and come back after the news is City. Should we do that?
Let's do it.
Yeah, we are learning. This is a learning curve. And I believe that, and I hope that we are correcting. We are looking at this and I'm like, oh Lord, that's me right there. I'm comparing myself. I seek a high through shopping and spending. That's me, Lord, help me. And so, yeah, let's take stock. And when we come back, we talk some more with the city.
Hallelujah. Are there any people who say, God, I need a miracle? Let me see your hands.
Radio buzzing of life, 657 AM.
Plug in, feel the pulse on Heart to Heart with Sibongile Mofokeng on Radio Pulpit.
Answers back, and I'm not alone in the studio. I'm with Sis City, and she's like, "You gave me a new surname." I'm like, "I gave you lots and lots of surnames. I gave you lots of surnames." Sis City Jennifer is with us. Sis City Jennifer Mani is with us up until 2:30. You can talk to us in studio. The lines are open for you. We're talking about, we are on the part two this week around. We are on your relationship, my relationship with money by God's design, and we are on part two. And yes, God is so good. We are learning. We are learning. We were on the red flags, the six red flags that she just shared with us. And I see family members. Pindile saying, hi, Sbo. And family, I'm listening. Sometimes it's good to be teachable. We be teachable. Because sometimes we think we know, but and then we fumble. We make mistakes. And so we are learning today. And may we have a teachable spirit. Obu James Ferdinand Fanzel says, do not compare yourself with others, Galatians 6:4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. People would be looking at others' shoes, and then, and you hear, there are certain words that I've heard people say, Sis Jennifer, they would say,
which linyazo, you know?
And you're just wearing your shoes. You're not thinking about them when you were dressing up this morning. You were just thinking, I'd like to wear these shoes and this dress together. Already that says, I'm comparing with, exactly. I'm comparing myself with you. And then you make a hairstyle and they're like, Mara, Lina, I think, and you know. And you're like, but why are you comparing? May the Lord help us. I think most of us, we envy other people. You spoke about envy. We envy other people. And we need to, grow from that. May the Lord help us.
Yep.
And so where are we going now?
We are going on the fourth one. To stop financial dependency.
Okay.
Stop it. stop it. And again, I need to just keep on repeating that these teachings are not saying, let us start being selfish and become negative people and say they said we must have a good relationship with money. It's teachings that help us to balance.
What if I said to myself, or if I would say this, would I be correct if I would say, if it doesn't feel right, it's not right?
No. If the moment
feel right in sight, it's not right.
The moment they say, my funder, I need 1,000, and the first thing that comes to you is that, I don't think so.
Yeah.
It means no. It's not so. Uh-huh. But yes, again, for those that are maybe joining us now after the break or after the news, it is one, the populist syndrome. I'll never stop saying that because nobody wants to be disliked.
Yeah.
In stopping of the financial dependency of others on us, the habits that we keep feeding will find it extremely difficult when we say no.
Mm.
So the no thing already, it's about self.
Mm.
When self has habits, imikuba, when there are already habits
in you,
in us, of a certain type or a certain level, certain degree, the very first thing that doesn't like you for saying no is your own habit.
Yeah.
And remember, your own habit or you is reflected in others. So when I am unable to say no to myself, no to that dress because my partner and I didn't have a good night last night, and so I'm going to feel better at the shopping. If I cannot say no and become unpopular to myself, just know you're going to be unpopular to others for saying no.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be able to take that.
Because it's very hard.
The unpopular to yourself.
Yeah.
You must be able to say, I was going to go to this party at 3 o'clock, but now there is this thing that's happening, and make peace with I'm not going there. Must be able to do that. Once you're able to do that, to do that to the next person and say, I'm unable to help.
You're already strengthened because you said no to yourself first.
So it starts
with you. You dealt with it.
Mm-hmm. It starts with you. Enabling is a mercy gift that is taken to the extreme. When we enable, we are not saying when we give.
Yeah.
God loves a cheerful giver.
Yeah.
That is not a problem.
Yeah.
But when we are enabling, an enabler and a giver, two different things. When you are giving, it is something that God has said, do this.
And it feels right. And I will bless you for that.
Enabling, it's you becoming a resource and forgetting about God, the real source of it all.
Yeah.
Let's look at, you know, critical realities.
Okay.
There is life in quality.
Mm-hmm.
I often say, and I once had a workshop planned for under the theme, the ego wants quantity and the spirit wants quality. And the spirit, we're talking God. Things that are meant to be done by you or for you will have much more life-giving effects and impact than things that are done from a populist point of view or for what to be liked or whatever reason. Those are quantity because you want to say, you know, for instance, governments, not necessarily South Africa, but governments around the globe, there is reports that are given, there are president's reports to his, you know, the nations and everything, and even in departments and everywhere. It's all about quantity. It's all about statistics. It's all about numbers.
Yeah.
And that's really possibly what governance is also about, you know, to say with the service delivery, this is what we have done for these many people. But with us as individuals, there is no statistics to be chased. When you chase statistics, you are a government. And you must know that if you are a government, do you have the resources to govern? So there is life in quality.
Then we need to repent.
So much repentance. I mean, we are still going through the deliverance, you know?
Yeah.
The first one, I took two things.
Yeah.
The quality of life, or the quality in the spirit that we should cultivate and work on. The emotional payoff of being needed, that's quantity. I was needed by 10 families in my church. That's an example. I was needed by 3 students that I bought sanitary pads for. I was needed. And I'm not saying organizations should not give. Charity work should not happen. I believe in it. But I'm saying when you are doing it from an emotional payoff, and I'm sure psychologists can come and teach us more on stuff like that. The vacuums that people have and they need to fill them with something. This is quantity. Yes, it feels good.
And now you have already gotten your reward, Musa. Because your ego has been fed.
It has been
That's
fed.
That's all. So you know, it has nothing to do with God.
People are talking about you. People are tagging you on social media to say, thank you for doing A, B, C, D for me. You are the thing. You are the person. It does feel right. Hey, Smangile, let's be honest. It feels good to solve a problem. To know that somebody came to you
and
they left
happy. Now I keep saying, Jennifer, I love the city one more.
Yeah, me too.
I love them both. But now, okay, there is something that happens there, though. You might be feeling good that people are tagging you, and but you're still empty. You still the void is still there because you haven't satisfied that. That monster, because it is a monster in you, so you haven't satisfied that monster.
It is the monster that you need to heal from. It is the monster that you need to face, acknowledge, and say, the monster is here, and what do I do in order to create the best future for myself and this monster? And so, it's good. It feels good.
But it's not.
It's a feeling. And remember,
so
feelings change.
It reminds me of the scripture that says, there's a way that seems right, but the end of it is death. And that is exactly that, because it feels right, but it's not. And it leads to more and more void. More, because after 3 days, after 4 days, there are no more likes. There are no more celebrations. It's done.
No more tagging. And I mean, then, they won't tag you for 30 days.
And maybe you realize, I have also lost a certain amount of money. I could have done this with it. And then the void comes back.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so you think you are adding value to someone's life. But you're not. Enabling does the opposite. It devalues. It removes the value completely. Because imagine the people that tagged you, that liked, that wrote about you, that called to say, hey, woman of God, you are the one, you know, CD for president. Imagine if they had to learn that you got stuck on the highway because of an empty tank.
Yeah.
Well, I've never experienced getting stuck because of empty tank. Yeah. Thank God. But imagine if people had to discover that you held them on Saturday
and
on Sunday
you
were on the N4. You know,
no food.
Hiking.
You didn't have food.
Yes.
But you gave them groceries.
What did that do?
Yeah.
It devalues the whole act. Is futile. The whole act is dishonest. The whole act says a lot. It brings a lot of sadness, maybe even to those people. So let
and
us
guilt.
Guard, you know. Let us know that God is the one who places people in our paths of needs. Whenever somebody needs something from you and you cannot give, and you know, even when you look at, you know, in your head, you try and look at your finances, you know, I'm unable to. Just know that the provider is there. He will avail an avenue for that person in the form of a person or a job or whatever.
And it might not be you this
time. It might not be you, and it's okay.
It's okay not to be you.
Yep.
Okay.
Secondly, under this segment, the detriment of enabling others. It can lower their self-esteem and cause them to remain dependent on the enabler, which is you. So it's not only you that suffers. It's the people that you enable as well, who could reach a level where they think they can't do it. Only you can do it.
So a person would be like, no, I'm no longer even going to try because I know Sistiti is coming.
Exactly. It could either be conscious like that to say, I'm not going to work, she will do it.
Mm.
Or it could be that people suddenly think you are the only one with the magic.
Sure.
They can't. And so this low self-esteem comes in to say, I don't have a positive self-esteem about me making money or me attracting opportunities my way if Sistiti is not there.
Mm.
So you're not empowering people. You are disempowering them. You rather show them also when it is the right time. You know, God says, if God tells you to show them where this thing can be found, do that.
Mm.
And so you release yourself from being engaged by other people at all times.
Sure.
It can also encourage them to underperform.
Mm.
We've got organizations, and I'm sure our listeners know these organizations. They can agree with me. That includes church. We have church, especially post-COVID. We are included where I come from. We are underperforming financially because, I mean, there are things that we need to, you know, for the upkeep of the church and this and that. There's an underperformance because the people maybe who have been enabling maybe lost their jobs or they died.
Or salaries were cut.
Or there's just something happening. A lot on their plate has come through. And so the churches are underperforming. And personally, I ask myself, I didn't know we could get to a stage where we say a church is underperforming financially. But we are there, and that is a reality. And maybe it's we need to look at other ways of you know, financially becoming viable as organizations. And so there's these things, they cause a lot of resentment from the enablers, us, and the resentment from others. And it also causes, you know, a resistance. You know, those who attempt to hold their feet to the fire in an effort to make them responsible, they may start being very resistant and saying, kishap, I'm no longer doing this. Or I'm leaving this church because these people, they love money. And these are I'm not talking about other people. I'm including myself in that.
So you find that at the end of the day, it looks as though, or maybe it is that way, that the church doesn't even care about you. They were caring about the money that you had. Now you realize it.
Yep.
Sure.
And so we are now talking, you know, financial relationship, money relationship with ourselves. But it does can you see how it affects everything? It's not only personal money at home, but it affects everything. Shall we look at the scripture reference that we have? Proverbs 19 verse 19 NIV, and it reads, a hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. These two elements, you will pay the penalty of it. The resistance, the resentment, the low self-esteem, I can't attitude, I'm unable attitude, the underperformance. You are hot-tempered. We look at these words. I love the Bible. It's so rich in how the wording happens.
Yeah.
And it's not always so literal. The hot-tempered, one might think, you know, impatience. It's impatience to a certain extent. You are impatient to wait for God to raise people for the right responsibilities. And so you step in and you want to, you know, save the world or save the church. So you will pay the penalty. It continues to say, rescue them, meaning these hot-tempered people, they must be rescued, and you, or rather, the people that you are enabling, keep on rescuing them.
Sure,
it's coming also as a exclamation, you know, to say rescue them, and you will have to do it again. The Bible stops there. I add to NIV again and again. You will be the rescuer. Until you are crippled yourself.
I see a lot of leaders in this space, hey? Pastors in the space. Now the church needs something, and then, You even take your grocery, family grocery money, and then you fight with your wife or you with your family. Oh, now there's a lack. You spoke about petrol shortage for driving, and now there's a shortage. But I see a lot of leaders who do that, especially in churches.
Mm.
We do that because we need a guitar. We need somebody to play the drums and they want to be paid. Of course, if we can afford, if the church can afford, let's give them something. They are doing such a great job. But now you find, there's quite a lot.
And that's exactly what God is saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Where you've been incited to do something, there will not be a problem. There will not be resistance. You can afford the guitarist, do it. But if you can't, why are you doing it? Why are you not singing a cappella? We've got many churches that sing a cappella.
Then
and
at the right
okay.
time. Then at the right time. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's reflect a bit. Let me ask the listeners to reflect. Let me ask us to go and reflect as leaders, as congregants, as, you know, aspiring pastors and pastors that are already practicing. Just know this. Think about these three words. Enabling needs balancing. If you are not going to balance, if you're not going to check and reflect and think about your decisions on spending, it's not going to go well.
Sure. As we repent.
We are definitely repenting, my sister.
Yeah, because some of us have done it without even being aware that you are enabling wrong habits in others. Yeah, our time is up. It runs so quick, ne?
Yeah, I think someone is jealous.
Who?
I don't know. We must pray about it. We must find
so
the
So we
present.
Are left with about two more. Is it three? Yeah, we are only on four. So we are left with about three. So in closing, are we going to leave it at that? Enabling needs balancing?
Yes, we're leaving it at that.
We said to Assist City that we are not going to be praying for family yet, but we will be praying at the end of it all. Just your closing statements.
In my closing statement, I'm saying I see how the Lord works. You know, his plans are better than ours.
Yeah.
He's just making sure that these seven elements are never going to discussed in one session. But all I can
helping
say
helping us, those is city, yes, to draw the line and do things right.
He wants to teach, and I'm fully submitting to that. I would just love to say to our listeners and to all of us that, you know, when you experience peace, the peace of God, you will discover that it is what you truly want to experience at all times, or at most times, if not all times. And so even in our finances, let's go and find that peace. Then also let us go and think about those members that left our churches or organizations or marriages that broke down. A whole lot of things are symptoms. But let's go and check if finance was not perhaps the core or the root of
we might have
the problem.
Missed it right there.
You might have missed something that had to do with the pretty papers, and that spiraled into many, many, many things.
Wow. So, yeah. City, for family members seeking to talk to you directly, how do we get hold of you?
The number is still the same. It's 071. 375-90-65.
Can you repeat that?
071-375-90-65.
Wow. Thank you so much. Nani Matsimela says, afternoon, women of God. Ha, the kresha, the watch, the mon.
Too much.
Time is jealous. I know, Nani, we were taking notes. We are all taking notes. We are learning. We thank you so much, my queen, for coming through and educating us on these. We are people who have some, most of the times, bad relationship with money. Mm. It's time that we have a good one that would even glorify the Lord, that he would even trust us with the money he has entrusted us to, you know, to become good stewards. And so, yeah, thank you so much for challenging us. I think so many of us are finding ourselves in all of these, of like, oh, and that's me. God help me.
Passionate about God, passionate about people. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, your daily companion. Download our mobile app or visit radiopulpit.co.za to listen to your favorite station 24 hours a day.